everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I am Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I've been renewed for season two, and I'm Brownie.
Woo! And if you can't tell, I have stains all over my pants. And
oh, we'll Jeremy, get to that story. What did you do?
I had lunch before we started. So,
and you ate like a monkey.
Kara, some of my nicknames. Do you know my nicknames?
Burrito Man, which is how I got my gamer tag, Lady
True.
Burrito.
That is true. Okay, well, that was a fun story. Anyways,
hold on. Explain to me this Burrito Man thing.
So, you know, I, you know, have a job and it...
No!
I know,
during
right?
the course of my travels, I go places. And when I was in Vegas for work, I had a roommate. His name's Andy, good long friend of mine. And Andy and I had to share a room. And so we went to Chipotle. And we go back, and I love Chipotle. I love them so much. You know, there's the whole argument, Qdoba versus Chipotle, which one's better. And it's like, Qdoba's good, but Chipotle is like...
I hate them both.
So. I like Qdoba.
So. Chipotle.
Qdoba. I like how it's like we have the complete representation. We have one side, the other side, and then just like, I'd rather...
Completely neutral, like me.
Like, they remind me too much of Subway, and I hate Subway.
You can email me at contact@riseofthepodcast and let me know what burrito you like. Or what place you like better.
Comment below.
Burger King.
Yeah, comment below. Burger King. So we go to our room. We take it to go. And we're sitting there eating. And I've always, always been known as a messy eater. Always. From the dawn of time. And Andy looks over at me and he's like, "Whoa there, Burrito Man. What are you doing?" Because I was eating my Chipotle burrito. And half of it was just all over me, like all over me. And so we just like laughed at the fact that he called me Burrito Man for the longest time. It stuck. So everybody else has normal nicknames, you know, like, you know, Steely Dan or Icy Bob or whatever. And
normal nicknames?
I don't know. Leaky the Plumber and Sparks the Electrician.
My aunts always call me Care Bear.
Yeah, Care Bear. So I'm Burrito Man, right? It's like, doesn't sound like anything else. And it's stuck for a long time at work. I'm talking a long time. So on the way down here, Kara's like, we should get some Taco Bell. Yeah, we can have some burritos.
Yo, Kiro.
Get the $5
Chalupa box.
The Chalupa box or whatever. And I ate, like, we were sitting in the car eating while we were waiting to come in and start. And we come in and I have one cheesy bean burrito left to eat. And I took a bite, and I spilled a little bit. Then I cleaned it up, got up, cleaned it up. And I took another bite, and it just blew sour cream all over my pants. Like, all over.
When I ate mine, I kept the bottom half wrapped in the wrapper. Because, like, whenever you eat anything from Taco Bell, Taco John's, doesn't matter if it's a hard shell, soft shell, stuff is going to leak.
You eat your hard shell tacos like wrapped in there, swaddled in their taco wrapping?
Yeah.
See, now Chipotle.
I eat my burgers the same way.
Chipotle keeps their stuff wrapped in foil and you simply peel the foil, I have since learned. And yes, you keep it in the foil. But Taco Bell, is just they don't like wrap it. They just, you open it up and you eat it.
I just unwrap one end and I just kind of fold it back as I go.
I normally eat like Jeremy eats, where I'm just like...
Yep, exactly. Wrapper gone.
Unless I'm driving. If I'm in the car, I keep it half wrapped.
Yeah, so if I'm driving, because the last thing that I want to have happen, I can't tell you how many times my seatbelt has saved me from dripping on my shirt.
I know.
It's like blap. I'm like, oh, mustard. Seatbelts do keep you safe.
Ketchup or mustard. So then Kara's little tangent when we started off is, so she met me, everybody introduced me to her at work as, oh, you hanging out with the Burrito Man, you're dating the Burrito Man or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so once we got married, somebody called her Lady Burrito.
Well, we were gaming. Jeremy was playing Destiny. This is before I got my own consoles. And Jeremy was playing Destiny with his buddies. And I would always harass Jeremy while he's playing. And finally, at one point, I took the headset and I was talking. And all of his gaming friends were like, oh, Lady Burrito. And I was like, okay, I can get behind that. So that is now my gamer tag.
Nice.
Well, part of it. But
so... Okay, Lady Burrito, right? You'd think, like, when you hear the word Lady Burrito, you know, like, I don't know. It's just funny to me that men and women have different experiences gaming. And Kara will get random friend requests from people to this day. But it's like, her name is Lady and Burrito. Like, how graceful or elegant is that? Like, what makes you want to talk to somebody like that? I don't know.
It's got the word
like
lady
in it.
She's
classy but approachable.
But yeah, there was one time I was playing Destiny. I was playing PvP on, I think it was D1. And I think within like a half hour period, I had gotten like 7 or 8
friend requests. Yeah.
Messages, friend requests. It was like, nah.
I don't experience it at all.
It's like that Lego thing you talked about earlier on that forum.
Yes, exactly.
Women make up such a small, like, it's a lot more balanced, I think, than people give it credit for, but it's still, right. Like, they're the minority of, like, gamers, mm-hmm. and, like, a lot of them have bad experiences, so they don't, like, really interact with people, so yeah. Someone actually is like, holy crap, a girl's playing this.
Yeah.
I've got to friend you. I might have a chance.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nope. Kara's Lady Burrito. So, yes. In my... thinking of telling the burrito story before we got started, it reminded me of one of my most embarrassing moments in middle school. And Chris, you might remember, may or may not remember this story, but there was, speaking of men being interested in women, there was a girl I was trying to make conversation with who was sitting at the end of the lunchroom table from me, right? So, remember the middle school lunch tables?
The lunchroom was permanently ingrained in my memory.
Right? So you've got a table, and then you've got the bench seats that have, like, the two bars sticking out, right?
Yeah.
And so I slid down. I was, like, thinking I was the coolest person in the whole world. There's no one, like, sitting, like, between her and me, kitty diagonal from each other. So I, like, slid down, made some conversation, and then I was sliding back. I slid right off the bench seat onto the floor in front of the whole lunchroom. And I was like so mortified. I mean, everyone started laughing. They really did. Because it was like, here you've got me just sliding down and then just whoop right off. You know, I was like,
so
the only thing that would have made
chances
it.
Chances with her?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Poor Jer Bear.
That never went anywhere.
Poor little middle school Jer Bear.
It was mortifying. And the only thing that would have probably made it funnier is if I would have had like my tray with me. But bar that, I mean, I just, you know. People are going, I mean, and if you remember, Chris, it was like they would do it in waves. So somebody was always in line getting the food, walking to their seat. And then, yep. Like, as one group of people would get done, like, new people would sit there type of thing. So it's like, I did this, and people are walking around laughing and looking down at me. You've got people at other tables laughing and looking at me.
How old were you?
Middle school would have been, like, what, 10 to 14 years old, something like that?
No, yeah, well, 14 11, about when grade, you...
So
11, 12, and...
11, 12, 13.
And then 14-ish, because then it'd be, like, 14 start... And then 14 through 18, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah. So 15 is when you start high school.
Yeah. We were on the younger end of the thing because we would only be like.
That's true.
Because like we're like the last couple of birthdays before.
The next. Yeah.
I graduated at 17.
Yeah. So I was 18 for a month and Jeremy would have been 18 for like a week.
Yeah. When we graduated.
I was younger than you. Homeschool is for the win. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a super mortifying. That was mortifying.
Words are hard.
It made me sad.
Check out that podcast up there.
You're so
funny. That's our most watched episode.
Is it really?
Yeah, because this is the first one with Bill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
But it was it was fun.
We need to have Bill on again.
We need to have more guests on. I want Justin to come back on. I really liked that video that he made. How cool is that? The Seth Green version of that movie is like hidden on the track, and he was one of the few people who ripped it off of there. Super cool. So, Kara, you worked at Wendy's for how long? And Chris, you've worked at fast food. Now, we've probably told some stories.
I'm sure we have.
Have you racking your brain on a story you may have not have told?
I don't know. I think I've told the one where I've kicked somebody out of the restaurant.
Yep, somebody threw food at you.
Yeah. I mean, you get the standards, like, people argue with you about prices of foods. Well, last time I was in here, it was 99 cents. Yeah, well, that was, like, 2 years ago. Like, it's not 99 cents anymore. Go home.
Don't come to Wendy's much.
Right? One time I went to hand this guy his Frosty, his 99 cent Frosty. And they always came in, like, the little, I think it was, like, 12 ounce. Because I think it was 12, 16, 20 ounces. It was a little 12 ounce cup, and he was this old guy. He was like, that's not a 99 cent Frosty. I was like, yeah, it is. Been working here practically my whole life. It's a 99 cent Frosty. He was like, no, it's the bigger one's a 99 cent one. I was like, no, it's not. He was like, last time I was in here, it was. And like, he argued with me to no end. I was like, sir, this is a 99 cent Frosty. I don't know what I can do for you. This is what you paid for. This is what you're getting. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to think of good ones, though.
What was your favorite item to make? Like, if something across to make, would you like to make them, like, easy peasy?
Oh, I don't know. I enjoyed, like, the junior deluxes or, like, the big sandwiches because, like, you hit up every single ingredient, you know, as mayo, ketchup, pickle, onion, tomato, lettuce, mustard, cheese.
Not a sesame seed bun.
We did not do sesame seed buns. That was McDonald's. The worst thing was when we got the toaster. Like, it was so nice not having to deal with toasting the big buns and stuff like that. I know it makes them better. They weren't toasted. They were warmed up in the microwave and then kept in the bun warmers, but we never had to toast them. And then Wendy's decided to get a little fancy schmancy and start toasting the buns, so we had to, like, roll them on the butter wheel, put them in the toaster, and that's...
Our, at McDonald's, the toaster, literally, there was just, there was two rubber treadmills. Okay. On the inside.
Yeah.
And the bottom and the top would just go bloop and just go and shoot out the end when it was done. It was perfect.
That's what we had too.
Didn't butter ours. We literally, all we did was toast.
We buttered them. Because like, so on the, it was basically the same thing. It was like a toaster, but a treadmill toaster, you know? And so on the front of the machine though, there was a roller that you had melted butter in. So you just go and butter, 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 drop it down the slots. But like when you get people coming in and they're like, yeah, I'd like seven number ones, please. And then you got like 20 people behind them going to order the same thing. It's like.
We really learned how to like maximize like by like staggering how you put them in there or whatever to like really get as many buns through as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is a McDonald's only thing. So the Big Mac bun has three pieces to it.
Yeah. Right. The middle.
Yeah. But the Big Mac is not like the number one selling sandwich there, right?
What is the number
one? Like a quarter pounder.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But so the Big Mac is the only thing that gets the Big Mac bun. Like every like other premium sandwich gets just the big sesame seed bun.
Right.
Then all the basic tier sandwiches just get the regular bun, right? So we have three different types of buns. Two of them we use a lot for everything, and then once the Big Mac comes around, then you throw the Big Mac bun in, right? So there were two things that would happen. We'd run out of quarter pounder type buns all the time. So you just throw the middle part away of the Big Mac bun.
And then use the quarter. Use it on a quarter.
Yeah, because they're the same otherwise. Or we'd run out of quarter pounder buns, and we'd toast two bottoms. So we would take a quarter pounder thing through it, and then we throw a top of a second one away and toast another bottom for the middle piece.
Crazy.
So, and like, people rarely would be able to tell the difference, but then like, I can tell you, it's happened to me and I've done it before where it's like, you build the things and it's like, because you're just grabbing stuff out of it, you actually make it out of two bottoms or two tops.
Right.
And you're just like, you can't be bothered to fix it.
Yeah. You just send it.
Yeah, it's like it's all bread at the end of the day.
It's that thing that you deal with it in post. Deal with the complaint after the fact. Sorry, sir, you can have a free meal. Because at least it gets him out of there and like away from home.
I never had anyone complain that I made it out of two tops.
Right.
Right? It's just like, I think they're just like, huh. It's one of those like evolutionary oddity.
Right.
Where it's like, or like when you order a double cheeseburger and you accidentally get three patties because people are going so fast. That's happened to me before.
Yeah. Nobody's going to complain about that. Oh, you gave me too much meat.
There's one, I think I told this story before, because there's like the crispy chicken, which is like the deluxe chicken sandwich thing, and then there's the McChicken.
I love the McChicken.
And I was actually, people were ordering McChickens, and it was my first day, and I was actually putting the crispy chicken on there, so getting like a $4 sandwich, basically, but with like a cheaper bun for $1.
Yeah. Right.
And they're like, you're giving them the wrong...
You're giving them the wrong chicken!
No!
You know, and obviously nobody complained about that.
Right. Like, wow, McDonald's McChicken is really good. Yeah.
Right?
They just upped their game.
The last time I was here.
Yeah.
They've really upped their game. Did you have any complaints from people that like things were obviously planted in their food? And they would come back and complain and be like, oh, there was a hair in my food. And it's like... Yeah, that's your hair.
Yeah.
I've had that happen.
Well, yeah. Wendy's is known for their finger in their chili.
Yeah.
It was fake.
I'll tell you what, I started working at Wendy's shortly after the finger in the chili thing happened, which some of our viewers may not have even know what the finger in the chili thing is.
Okay. So when we were kids, or well, not even kids, 2005-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, young adults.
About that time. Somebody took a finger from somewhere, put it in their chili, and then went back and complained about it.
There was a finger in their chili.
There was a finger in their chili.
Big deal.
Yep. And then, of course, it went as viral as something could back then.
Somebody would have noticed at some point in making the chili. I can't tell you how many chilies I've made. For pouring out the tomato sauce and the water and everything, at some point somebody would have noticed there was a finger in that chili.
Yeah, or like where, or at the point that it was lost.
Yeah, right. If you cut your thumb off, you would go, might not want to send that chili out the door with my thumb in it.
Right. Well, and then, like, the meat, you don't get the meat from some random place. It's the meat that's kind of gotten a little overcooked on the grill.
Yep.
And so you can't serve it, so you save it, and then you rinse it off, chop it up and everything all yourself, so you know what's in there. You've chopped it yourself into these tiny little pieces, so there's no way a finger could have gotten through that.
So you mean to tell me the reject beef for burgers is what goes into the chili?
Do you want me to tell you what goes in a hot dog?
I mean, like, it's smart, obviously. It is. I think it's like it's reduces still good. Waste. Like, just because at restaurant standard for the how they want their hamburgers to represent it, it's not good enough doesn't mean that it's inedible or bad meat.
Totally true.
So it's like, I'd rather they do that.
Yeah.
And you know how good Wendy's chili actually is?
It is good.
People love that stuff.
I do too.
So chili with beans, I don't like.
Right. I love beans and chili.
So
I don't love when Jeremy eats beans with chili.
One of the hills I've chosen to die on is like the original, like, quote unquote original recipe for chili did not call for beans.
Really?
And that's why if you go to the store and you buy a can of chili stuff, it says chili with beans. Oh. Right? It doesn't just, otherwise it would just be called chili and it'd be like chili minus beans for the non-bean version of it. So it's just like extra filling. I'm just not particularly a fan of beans.
Okay. Right. I've come to learn that black beans do more damage to what Kara's worried about than brown beans or pinto beans.
Have you switched when you go to Chipotle?
I do. I get pinto now. I get pinto. I love the taste of black beans, but they do not agree with me for later on. I get very flatulent with beans.
That's so true.
And then I end up being embarrassed like I was in middle school. It happens.
Poor Jer Bear.
Do you remember the little, it's like they're like apple pies or whatever, it's like the hard crust thing or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Like they usually come in a paper wrap, but they used to have them at the middle school lunch thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes. So it's just like a hard pastry crust with like apple filling
or whatever.
So I remember, and this is also in middle school, somebody was like, oh, it's like I can't really want to have this thing or whatever. I can't eat it or whatever, right? And what they'd done is they'd hollowed it out and filled it with potato salad.
Oh. I love potato salad, but expecting apple pie and getting salad pie.
And I like potato salad too, but like apple pie and potato salad aren't, they don't cross.
Right, one sweet, one salty.
And like, so I take a big bite out of it and I like almost threw up.
Yeah.
Because of how unexpected it was. Like if somebody told me about it, it was like, oh, dare you to eat it or whatever. It's right. Like, you can totally at least prepare yourself mentally for it. But this is something where it's like, I thought it was like rotten apples or something.
Right.
You know, so I was just like, and everyone's laughing or whatever. It's like you tricked me into eating something gross. I don't know how that's like an accomplishment.
I've heard that if you like take a Mountain Dew can, drain out the Mountain Dew, refill it with coffee, and then like seal the hole in the bottom and somebody goes to take a drink of it, like they'll throw up because they're expecting something fizzy and sweet like Mountain Dew and they end up getting flattened and
hot bean bitter, water.
Yeah.
You know, instead, I've heard it'll actually make somebody throw up. Don't try it at home.
That's interesting.
That's a new challenge. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, orange juice is a real one. Like, sometimes people serve a glass of orange juice and then they'll have like milk with breakfast, right? But if you grab the wrong one and you're not paying attention and you're expecting like chalky milk and then you get.
Did you say chalky milk?
Chalky, as in C-H-A-L-K-Y. Oh. Chalky.
I was like, is Baby Yoda in the house? Yeah.
No, not chocolate chalky milk.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going with it too.
Chalky. Versus chalky.
Dang, I got you. I feel you.
I guess chalky would be the chocolate and then chalky.
It's chalky. Chalk is chalk. It's not chalk.
Yeah, well, it's like caulk or cock.
Yeah, right. But so, you know, and you expect one, and then you get the tangy bitterness of orange juice, and then yeah, blah, just be bad.
I hate orange juice as is. So
speaking of tangy, I love orange juice.
I do too.
Ooh, I hate it.
Speaking of tangy bitterness, you're the first person I knew that actually liked drinking grapefruit juice.
I love grapefruit juice.
I like grapefruit juice too.
He likes cranberry juice.
Love cranberry juice.
But I hate prune juice.
I like prunes, but not prune juice. Prune juice is nasty.
My favorite juice is cranberry grape.
That doesn't count.
Oh, man. White grape juice is pretty hard to beat.
White grape juice. Yes.
Yeah. I used to drink that all the time.
Oh, grapefruit juice is so good.
Do they still make white grape juice?
Oh, yeah.
White grapefruit or white grape? Because you said white grape.
Oh, you guys saying white grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Oh.
It's the salty, or not salty, but tangier version of grapefruit juice, right?
Yeah.
I don't even like grapefruit. Like, grapefruit is...
Grapefruit's delicious. Have you ever had grapefruit with sugar on it?
Yes, I don't like it.
That's a game changer. Growing up...
my extent of grapefruit.
Nice.
Squirt?
Yep.
There's not even any grapefruit in that,
it's grapefruit flavored.
Naturally flavored, so...
grapefruit juice.
Hey, I'm drinking grapefruit juice over here.
All right, go ahead, Chris.
Contains 2% or less of grapefruit juice concentrate.
It's still some.
Right.
So growing up, I always thought it was weird, like the spoons that we had, I thought were strange, right?
Right.
And because we had, even to this day, so there are like the slightly bigger spoons. They're Which not hate, serving yeah. spoons.
Soup spoons and then like teaspoons?
Yeah. So like I would rather eat something with a fork than with one of those stupid big spoons.
I hate the
Jeremy
big spoons.
Too.
It drives me, it's just too much spoon in it's my mouth. It feels like I'm going to gag. Yeah. Anyway,
I like using them for soup.
No.
I'd rather use a straw.
put in a blender and just.
I'd rather fold a paper boat and then drink it out of that than use one of those big spoons. I hate those big spoons. But so we had some of those. So you have the two different size forks, and either size fork is fine.
Salad,
that doesn't
dessert.
Offend me. And then we have these big spoons, and then we have these smaller spoons, but they were sharp and jagged,
serrated. Yeah.
And I was like, I thought, that's weird. Those are the only small spoons we had, and I didn't know any better than whatever, you know. So like,
did you eat your cereal with a jagged spoon?
Yeah, because that's the only small spoons we had. And
did
like,
you cut
it
yourself?
Was, you, no, never.
Oh. But it was just weird.
That's all we had. But like, and I never thought anything of it except for that. It's weird that nobody. I'd never seen these spoons anywhere else.
Right.
And I learned when I was like 20 that they were grapefruit spoons.
Yeah.
It probably work well for a kiwi.
It would probably. So it's funny, Chris. Is those taste more metallic-y to me because of the extra jagged edges and
surface area? Yeah.
They taste different on your tongue. But I also grew up with those spoons.
I did not.
But it was a little bit easier for me to know what they were because the handles were grapefruit.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah.
I can see your mom having those.
So not like they weren't a circle, but they were long and tubular. And the outside of the handle, like the insulation portion that keeps your hands off the metal, was rind. And then they were cut at a 45, and it revealed the orange, like the grapefruit. Reddish grapefruit color.
Yeah.
It had the little. It was like one wedge of grapefruit with little seeds in it. So
that's
I was like, oh,
cute.
Sweet, grapefruit spoons. Like,
yeah,
I knew what
mom,
they were because they
your
were...
Your mom would totally have those.
Yeah.
She has really cute silverware at her house. It's cast out of metal, but it looks like branches off a tree.
Oh, okay.
It's super cute.
It starts out with a fork, but then it molds into what looks like a metal tree branch.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And he always has really cute...
It's what the ants use.
Has really cute, right?
Tree That'd be like us eating with a fork made out of someone's arm.
Oh, that's, my gosh! That's just waiting to happen. This could be a fork.
And then what? This is a spoon?
Yep. And this is a knife.
Could you imagine buttering your bread with a piece of ham?
Well, you gotta think, like, they shrink heads, right? You just, like, shrink an arm.
Oh, man. That's like an episode of Black Mirror where then it gets to be to the point where people, like, only use real shrunken human.
Yeah.
Like, it's real.
Oh, so speaking of Black Mirror and how crazy this year has been, somebody said, it's so nice of the makers of Black Mirror to make 2020 interactive for us.
Yeah.
I've seen, there's so many of those jokes. Back to the Future one, don't ever set it to 2020. There's what's 2021 going to hold in store for us?
And I saw one that said that the Mayan...
calendar was off
maker.
By 8 years.
Well, no, that the guy who made it was dyslexic, and it was actually supposed to say 2021, not 2012. Aww. So 2021 is going to be even worse.
I heard that there was one where it was like there was some year, like they added on some years when
we lost 8 years.
Yeah, we lost eight, so it's actually 2012 or
Which
something.
Which the difference is actually only like 46 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right. It's just, you know, the whole people post stuff on the internet, and no one fact checks it.
Right. Like Abraham Lincoln when he said, don't believe everything you read
on the
internet.
I love that quote. I absolutely love that
good
quote.
Stuff.
But
I just thought it was funny. So.
Sort of like pseudo related to that. In my D&D group, I play a sorcerer, and I make references to modern technology all the time, and then everyone's like, you know, role-playing.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, that's right, you wouldn't know about that
yet. That is fun.
Maybe too early for you, but your kids are going to love it.
I actually made that, okay, this is a funny story. So we had an encounter at a carnival, right? And there's this haunted, like, organ that's, like, playing this music that's making these enemies spawn.
Okay.
So I have an ability called Mage Hand, right? And you can just cast, like, this ethereal hand that can do stuff. Mm-hmm. So I cast it, and I'm playing other music on the piano with it, which I didn't have to do a check for because the last time we did a performance check, I rolled a natural 20. So I'm, like, a virtuoso piano player.
Oh.
So, like, I'm playing all these things or whatever. And then, well, when the control of the piano was necessary for the battle, right? So I'm, like, fighting off something else that's trying to play this piano.
That's fun.
And then every time the song changes in Discord, Jim would play... he's like, what song are you going to play now? And he would find a piano version of that song and start playing it in Discord.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
And I was like, that's so freaking awesome.
That is cool. That group sounds like a lot of fun.
So yeah. I ended with, like, a... At the very end, there was, like, these three different pieces of music that we had to be played at the same time. So I was playing one with my character and then having the Mage Hand play another one.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Or whatever. And then, like, all this, like, crazy stuff happens. And everyone's, like, stops at the end and is like, well, I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet.
Yes!
So I made that literally exact same
That's
joke.
That's funny.
With my character. So, yeah, it was a fun game yesterday.
That was. That sounds like
a
good time.
Did you stay up until 3 a.m.?
No, we actually got through all the content a little bit quicker than we were supposed to, so we only played for probably about 3 hours. So
that's pretty cool. I like hearing your D&D story, Chris. And then the way they're doing it, they have like an online.
Yeah, we play online. We use a website called Roll20, and like it keeps your character sheet on there, and then it actually has maps, and it's like everything's all gridded out, so you know exactly how far you can move and where you can hit stuff with your spells and what you can't do.
Oh, that's cool.
So a little...
Procedurally, it makes it go a lot faster, and you don't get as much, like, side conversation that bogs everything down.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good time. So, I have another story, but it's, like, way longer and needs a lot of context for it, so I'll save that for after the podcast.
Got it. A D&D one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the D&D stories. The one where you're like, woo, boom, belly flopped on a
It's
spikes.
Directly related to that, actually.
But we'll save it till after the podcast, but... So you guys got to learn today, you got to learn about how I became Burrito Man. It's because I don't know how to eat Chipotle, and Andy called me that, and it stuck.
So I'm curious. So when I eat burritos, I know how full they pack them. So the other day we got Qdoba, and normally I'll get their salad bowl with, like, the crunchy shell and everything. And last time we got it, I was like, you know, a burrito actually sounds good.
Burritos are good.
So I told Jeremy, I was like, can you grab me a fork? And Jeremy was like, for your burrito? I was like, yeah. Because what I like to do is I like to eat the top. And then it gets so full that when you take a bite, things tend to just fall out. Mm-hmm. So I take the fork and I eat the insides.
Okay.
So I don't make a mess. And then I'll eat down
Kara's
some
like
more.
Kara's like hunting her kill. Be like.
Well, so I have a burrito eating strategy. And it's based on, because like, you're talking the same. It's like, you take a bite and the stuff gets forced down into the burrito, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll go in to line up for the bite and I'll actually squeeze the stuff forward to keep it like proportionally
like,
distributed through the thing.
Like a roll of toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So instead of going in, biting, and then having it forced down and then you have to deal with that.
Right.
Yeah. So you go in, you line up your bite, and then you just give that pressure back.
Okay.
So that it stays proportionate throughout the whole thing. So you don't end up with like 80% of your
right.
filling in the last two bites.
In right. your lap?
Yeah.
Like Jeremy.
Well, so Jeremy's problem, because he had a hole in it, if he would have done that, it would have just been like shooting out.
Right. Yeah, it would have.
So that... you had to keep it wrapped up, especially when it drips on you once. It's like, fool me once, you know?
Shame on you.
Fool me twice, shame on me. And that was a shame on you.
You can't fool the fooler.
Nope.
Or whatever George Bush said.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I just
gosh.
Wear my food stains as a pride of.
Oh, so Jeremy is so klutzy with food. One time he went shopping.
Oh yeah. This
at Eddie Bauer. And he had gotten himself some new shirts. Nice new shirts, flannels, cute, you know, whatever. Decided to stop at Caribou in the mall.
Get a coffee.
And he got himself a coffee. And were you just walking or did
I was
you
walking
take
out
a
to
drink?
The car. I was walking out, I took a drink.
And,
because,
yeah,
so, okay, so cups of coffee, right? Air, law of aerodynamics. When you take a drink, all coffee shops put a little tiny pinhole on the other side of where you drink from. So when you put it back down, your air pulls in so you don't get the little back blow of air.
Yeah,
injury.
Yeah, because otherwise it would create a vacuum.
And so because they punch 100 million holes, you know, a day, the hole didn't punch through all the way on the lid. So when I pulled it away from my mouth, it did like the air rush in, and then the coffee went down and then sloshed back up, came right out, and I could like see it in slow-mo. So I was holding my bag of clothes, brand new clothes in my one hand, and let like bring the coffee down, and I could see it in slow-mo. The coffee went bloop.
Right into my brand new shirt.
Got like brand new. Did I get mochas? So it's chocolate and coffee melted together. Just boom, right into the shirt. I look in there and it was like the stain never came out.
No, it didn't.
It never came out. Because then I was, where do I go? I don't have it at home. I can't wash the shirt. I can't.
When you did get home, didn't you wash it?
I tried.
Hot.
Well, I wanted it clean.
It was a white. It's like a cream colored flannel. And you ended up washing with jeans or something like that.
And then it ended up coming out
like a light blue. Jeremy doesn't separate colors.
No, everything.
It's like everything in one. You know,
cold water clean.
What I do is I do everything in like in autumn earth tones, and I just wash everything together. Okay. I don't own anything that's like bright or vibrant or white. It's all in the blue, brown, orange, red, dark spectrum.
Okay.
So that like it's just all lives there, and it's, so I don't have to sort anything out. And I have black socks.
Yeah. See, there you go.
I sort.
I'm not the only one.
Because like with towels, you're not supposed to wash it with fabric softener, because it can make it smell musty.
I don't wash anything with fabric softener.
Oh, we use fabric softener.
I don't have enough money for fabric softener. I literally just go Tide Pod, and it's good.
Hey, that works.
So I also, like, I own... I'm wearing work clothes right now, because I don't own, like, casual clothes right now.
Someday, Chris, we'll, you know, maybe we'll upgrade to dryer sheets.
Dryer sheets. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
That's my food story.
Yeah, I can't think of any particular ones.
No.
I do have one. Okay, so this is the story of the first time I ate so much that I couldn't hold it down.
Oh.
Go for it.
Been there.
So, like, I remember this so vividly. So, like, growing up, there's some, like, there are foods that are, like, your favorites growing up, right? And one of my favorites is what my dad called Spanish rice. It's not exactly what, like, Spanish rice you get, like, in a restaurant. It was, like, the easy make-it-home version. So, it's just... instant white rice and tomato soup, right? And then basically you use the soup as your volume of liquid you'd use to normally cook your rice.
Right.
So it's like infused with that, like whatever, and then, you know, you can season it up or whatever, and then we would normally brown up some hamburger and throw it in there.
Yep.
Okay. So it's like, and I still love it to this day. I just don't make it very often because, like, who can be bothered? Right. But my dad used to make just like huge, it'd be like two of those like giant family sized cans of tomato soup.
Dang.
And then so it's like that plus water or milk or whatever, however you want to make your soup, right? And so then it's like 12 cups of rice or something. So it's like this massive, massive, massive batch of this stuff.
Holy cow.
And I loved it. It was so good. And I ate like, I don't even know how many bowls of it, but I ate it way too fast was the problem, right? Mm-hmm. And so... it's like I'm eating it and like my dad or my mom, someone told me like, it was like, you need to slow down, right? So it's like I stop after probably four bowls of it or something, right?
Oh my gosh.
But I just like pounded it down because I was like so excited to eat it. And about a half hour later, so the interesting thing about rice is when you're done cooking with it, it can still absorb more,
right? Yeah,
and expand. So what we figured ended up happening is like I ate and I was like, okay, I feel all right, but then I was like, oh, I feel really full. And then it's like I started feeling fuller and fuller, which you do feel fuller and fuller after you eat anyway.
Yeah,
like, to a point where it was painful. So then I was like, oh, and it's like, I decided I'm going to go to the bathroom and try to do something about it. And I was like, I literally, it wasn't like I needed to throw up. It was like the volume was so much, it just forced itself out.
Oh.
And it was just, and because it was, I hadn't had any time to like digest it or anything, it just looked like I just dumped a bowl of it on the floor.
Oh,
oh
gross.
And I was like, ugh, yuck.
Oh, poor Chris.
Now, did you eat it after that?
No.
No, Chris, no, not that. Have you had Spanish rice after?
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes you have a bad experience with a food.
Yeah.
And that memory,
Chris is just down the
Chris
lake.
Chris is like, no, I did not eat it again. Why would you
just
say that?
Just took a spoon. Oh, it's so good. Oh.
No, I've many times after that.
Oh, okay.
But I have had foods ruined with experiences. Yeah.
Like lasagna that was that way for me for a while. It's one of my favorite foods, and I ate a batch with it. Was prepared with like either bad goat, like bad feta cheese or bad cheese, and I got sick and threw it up. And it took me many years to try lasagna again because it's like, oh, I don't want to have that food again.
I had popcorn with too much butter on it one time, and oh, I couldn't eat popcorn for a while after that. I puked it up. It was so bad.
I don't know if I don't know if there's too much butter for me for popcorn. I used to, we had these like little, like coffee cups. So they have like a little curly handle.
Yep.
And
yep.
You know, like an 8 or 10 ounce cup or something. And we would use those for like melting things in the.
Yeah.
We had weird plateware and stuff growing up. Like we had like a full like coffee service set, but like my parents obviously were the only people in the house that drank coffee. They just drank it out of mugs.
Right.
Right.
So it's like we would just find ways to use these random things. So what we would do is like if we made popcorn, we'd put like some butter in there and melt it up to do whatever. Well, I did like a full thing of freaking butter into a bag of popcorn. Like the popcorn was like physically just like soggy from butter. Ugh. And that was my favorite bag of popcorn I've ever had.
No, it was really good eating it, but it was so much grease. I was like,
yeah, I can't justify doing it again. I think about it sometimes. I'm like, I should just go get a stick of butter and some popcorn and just do it. But it's like just thinking about how like terrible that has to be for you. I can't convince myself that it's okay. Seriously.
Have I made you Alton Brown popcorn yet?
Oh, no. you need to come over and have Alton Brown popcorn.
It's my favorite way to make popcorn now.
Alton Brown's perfect popcorn, isn't it?
Yep. You make it in a steel bowl, directly in the steel bowl with just seeds and then whatever
and
type
peanut
of
oil.
Neutral. You can use any neutral oil.
Yeah, so
you like
grapeseed or peanut or
grapeseed. How many grapeseeds do you need to make a grapeseed oil? Grapeseeds that big?
Who knows? Nobody eats them though, so I mean.
But yeah, so you just put it in a bowl, and then the way that like the shape of a bowl is, the popcorn and the heat, like you know, it convects.
Well, do you ever make Jiffy Pop over a campfire or anything as a kid? Same idea. You just put the kernels into a metal bowl with the salt and the oil, cover it with foil, and then shake it over the heat.
Same idea. Not the microwave.
Not the microwave. And you salt
not
the seeds.
Not a metal bowl in the microwave.
But you actually salt the seeds before you cook them, and then as it pops, the salt stays with the kernel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you use a popcorn salt. So we didn't have popcorn salt. So all I did was I took our salt and I put it in the coffee grinder and just ground it up. It
worked fine. Salty coffee.
Yeah, right. Which is a thing, by the way. People put salt in coffee and butter in coffee.
Mm-hmm. Butter in coffee is really good, actually.
Yeah. I have another food story.
Peanut butter and chili is one I wanted to try.
I mean, I can see that being peanut butter complements a lot of things.
Yeah, it does,
but not chili.
Yeah, it does. It makes it oily and hearty and delicious. Okay, food story.
So speaking of like adding like salt or butter to things or whatever, when I worked at McDonald's, we had what were called courtesy breaks. You can go grab a soda, take like 2 minutes to like, you know, like because it's hot.
Whatever. Freshen up.
So, depending on how lax your manager was, you could just keep a beverage somewhere sort of near you. So like if you just needed to step away for a second to get a drink and then put it back. And so some managers are like, that's completely inappropriate to have like a personal beverage around the food preparation area. I get that. And some of them didn't care. And I get that too. I didn't care when I was in charge.
I was going to say, I was a pretty lax manager, I feel.
He was my absolute favorite manager. I loved working with him. But he had a hard no beverages in the prep area, or the prepper assembly area rule. And I thought I was being sneaky, and like on the top of the heater cabinet, there was like a little thing or whatever. It's like, so you could like open it up and whatever.
Yep.
He found it, and he dumped a ton of salt in it. So I go to take a drink
of
like a Diet Coke. And it was like, I almost threw up again because it's like the unexpected, like it was like taking a hit of salt water.
Oh.
And I was like, and he's like, oh, I wonder what happened. And so, I was like, I'm not going to tell him that I took a big drink of an illicit drink.
Right.
Oh, you know, gosh. But like came to light later that it was all his doing.
What I was going to say was a big deal with that is if it gets knocked over, right?
Exactly.
All the prep area. So with him tainting your beverage, you could have literally went and just sprayed it everywhere. Yeah. And then that would have been the reason why you don't have it there in the first place is that you...
Yeah.
So it would have been made more work for you if you weren't able to, like, handle it.
When it was during busy times, I was a bit more strict about, like, keeping food, like, drink by the food area.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're moving around really fast. You're, you know, not necessarily paying attention to knocking things over.
Yeah.
So during food, like, during busy times, a bit more strict. During, like, between 2 and 5, whatever. And then when I closed, I had a drink up by, like, as the manager, I would be the one bagging food because then I don't have an area to close and then I can focus on, like, counting the money and making sure everybody else is getting their stuff done. So I'd always keep a drink up by the bagging area with me.
Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, another... people like messing with my food is what I'm coming to realize.
You're safe here, Chris. You're safe here.
So, somebody keeps threatening to cook a sous vide steak for me.
Oh, well, he should. Those, I heard, are good.
Yeah.
So, is that, like, the bag and hot water one?
Yeah, so yeah. I've never had it, but it sounds like the best way to make a steak to me.
It does sound really good. You basically, it's like you cook a steak for a really long time, but in just the barely, like, degree temperature that'll actually start to cook the meat. So really low temperature, yeah, long time.
It's like it's vacuum sealed in a bag.
Oh, so it keeps all the moisture in.
Yeah, and then it's submerged in water. And I think, like, what's the food safe temperature for steak? Like 165?
No, for steak, 145.
So it's like 130 degree water.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like warmish, a little bit more than warm bath water.
So it's like smoking a steak.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time to do it.
And then when you're done, you take it out and you sear it on, like, a cast iron pan or something. So it gets it up to the final temperature, but, like, it's still, you know, like, pink in the middle and everything. And all of the juices stay with the steak the entire time.
Yeah, Bernie makes sous vide steaks.
I wonder if you could put some sort of marinade in the bag with it so that it, like... Good. I love marinades.
Kara's going to go buy a sous vide steak set now.
Yeah, dang right I am.
Film it for an episode, a Thursday video.
And we'll call it...
Cooking with Kara.
Cooking with Kara. But then, I'm blanking on the name of the dewback. We'll call it a dewback steak.
Why dewback?
Or a bantha steak.
Why? Because we're Star Wars?
Star Wars.
So you have to, why do you call it a Jawa steak?
Wookiee steak.
You can feed it to the Mandalorian.
Because Jawas are
Wookiees,
like...
Wookiees are too far, Chris.
Banthas and dewbacks are animals.
Well, depending on from a certain point of view.
From the Care Bear point of view.
I've seen The Mandalorian. Those Jawas are animals.
Yeah, the way they attack that egg.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, seriously.
Oot-teeny.
I just like how you add extra syllables in there.
What?
Oot-teeny. It's oot-teeny.
Yeah.
Oot-teeny.
No. Oot-teeny.
Dance club remix.
Just beatboxing Jawas.
I'm thinking of a funny viral video doing something like that. Oh, that'd be funny. Oh, Kara, now you're saying what I'm saying. Well, when Kara starts saying what I'm saying, I think that we are time to wrap up, Chris.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Like this video if you made it this far into it. Comment down below what Star Wars animal you want to eat.
Yeah.
So.
Don't say porgs.
Or where you draw the line.
Oh, porgs.
Hey, porgs are completely edible.
They are.
No.
Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell if you want to be notified every time we upload a video or when we go live. We're inching ever closer to being able to go live. Actually, comment down below, too, if we were to go live on Saturdays, what time you'd want us to go live. Central Daylight Time only. Jeremy the Rogue putting his hat on.
That's because the end. It's the end.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and of course...
May the Force be with you.